On the dot. We're on time. What do you know to start the show? Then it all goes to hell from there. Dave, Katie, and Nate, The Drive, Monday. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. And, we're talking last night and this morning, thinking it's almost harder to do shows like this than it is in the middle of the summer when it's like,
what do we talk about?
July. Exactly.
Just like that, Nate.
That's how a lot of our conversations go.
If the Kings were a hockey team, would they be big here?
You know, it's just so much stupid stuff you come up with. And then now, it's the opposite problem. We have now entered. Yes, congratulations and thank you, studio audience. We have entered the best time of the year. Officially, it is here. This is number one, numero uno, Ichiban, because the Major League Baseball season is over. Playoffs start tomorrow. You have the NFL going. The NHL's in preseason. The NBA's in preseason. We saw the Warriors and the Raptors, amongst others, over the weekend. The Ryder Cup just happened. There's so much going on. It's almost like paralysis by analysis.
WNBA playoffs?
Yeah.
All right. Feel the roar.
Come on. Are you watching that?
I watched a little bit yesterday because my former team was playing.
Gotcha.
And it's crazy because it's at the time now where a lot of the girls, the women that I played with, are like retiring and almost done. And so one of the girls that I played with, who is one of the best to ever come out of the game, Penny Taylor, an Australian, she played her last game last night. The Mercury lost to the Lynx, who are going to the finals again. And
that's why
I watched. Yeah, I was flipping back and forth between football and that.
They
got their asses handed to them, but it wasn't like a good game.
No.
Who got their asses handed
to them? The Mercury.
Oh, the Mercury.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Chiefs.
So I thought you were talking about the Niners.
A lot of teams got their asses handed to them yesterday on the NFL side, for sure. I think maybe what do you think the most surprising? Can you name it? Like,
Bills
most
shutting out the Patriots?
Yeah, that was mine. Yeah. What's yours?
Yeah, that's probably good. I'm looking at the fact that the Buccaneers are 1-3, and Jameis Winston keeps doing stupid crap, and I thought that he was going to blow up this year.
Sophomore slump.
And, it is not. You know, every time you think he kind of makes a leap forward, he'll do something that is just, you know, mind-numbingly dumb in terms of clock management or just a decision to throw an interception. It's strange.
Hey, been dealing with that for about seven years now.
Really surprised.
It doesn't work as well in the pros, does it?
I'm really surprised by the Panthers and the Cardinals.
Yeah, I am too. I'm very surprised by where they are.
Which one's least surprising? Because, a Cardinals meltdown. I don't know. The Cardinals are always going to cardinal.
I think the Panthers are very surprising. Yeah. But how about this? Which is more surprising, that the Panthers are 1-3 or that the Rams are 3-1? The Rams, I tweeted this out yesterday, and I hate Twitter sometimes.
Because
here's what I tweeted. I said, if not for a shutout loss opening night to the Niners, the Rams would be 4-0. And then everyone was like, oh, Magic Johnson tweet. Well, if I had money, I'd be a billionaire. I'm like, I understand what I'm saying. Look beneath the tweet. Like, if they.
Like, the Niners should have 4 wins.
Right? The Niners are better than all these teams. If the Niners shut these guys out 28-0, and the Niners are a fire of garbage. So, had they beat the Niners, that's the one team they lose to, and they go out and they beat everyone else, including the Cardinals. The Rams are tied for first. After a quarter of the season. I'm not saying it's going to last, but I am saying that Jeff Fisher is almost halfway to 7-9. It's already.
Hey, that knock you hear?
Yeah.
That's Jeff Fisher on your mom's door, man.
Yeah.
Going to the Golden Corral.
Oh, what does he want?
3-1, baby.
I'm going to leave her alone. She's gotta get some rest. So you've got that. And then a conversation Nathan and I were having outside there, Katrina, is...
Why you calling me Katrina?
Because you're a hurricane.
Or
a disaster.
Boo.
Or
there you go. So, 6-0-7. The Ryder Cup is one of the greatest spectacles in all of sports. And it's not just golf. It's all of sports. And we're trying to figure out... You know, soccer does a thing where they play like English soccer. They play their season. And then they have a couple of different breaks. They have Champions League or Europa breaks for the teams. And then they have international breaks for the, you know.
Europa
the,
sounds like a licorice candy or something.
It's like a U2 album, really. So you have these breaks where they go off and play. And wouldn't it be kind of nice if you developed something like that for golf and you had the different countries divided up during the year? The point being, without explaining the whole thing, because you can do the math on your own, I love the Ryder Cup so much.
Let's have more team golf.
Yes.
How is that not a thing? Like once a month, you get like you can't. You're telling me you can't incorporate that into the PGA Tour,
right?
Or something. Even just find a way to get FedEx Cup points for it. And all you need is like it doesn't have to be even four ball. Give us a best ball match play scenario
something.
Or something like that once a month.
Do a scramble. Two man scramble.
Can you imagine what the scores would be like in something like that?
20, like you, like 18 under is pretty much what you have to get to win. You got to think 18 under for two PGA players to scramble.
18 under is not going to win.
You think?
Not I mean, even. Hell no. You're birdieing every hole and you're looking at eagles on all the par fives.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah, you're probably right.
If you get four pros,
no, I was saying two. I was saying two. Okay. I was saying two. No, 400,000%. I was saying if it was
gotcha.
Two.
Gotcha.
Dave, but, can I ask you a question?
Maybe.
Did you just adjust the thermostat?
I tried to, but it's already as low as it can go, I think, at 70. Why?
I was just wondering.
Because it's hot in here.
Feels nice, doesn't it?
Okay, but here's the thing. And this is what am I about to say?
This is why, like, I get hot and girls are always cold and then Nate's got a girl's body.
Well, okay.
That's what you sound
That's all true.
That's your argument every single time.
No, let me give you my argument. Ready? What am I wearing right now?
Not specifically. A ridiculous kitty t-shirt.
Again, not specifically. Didn't follow directions. What am I wearing on top? What is this?
That's a t-shirt.
Dude. Right. Am I wearing a sweatshirt over it?
No.
What are you wearing?
Sweatshirt.
What are you wearing, Nate? Even
sweatshirt.
Though you're innocent, not involved in this.
He has a long
and a
sleeve,
okay,
and a sweat, like a hoodie on.
Unless I want to break HR code, I've now taken off all the clothes I can take off.
Well, let's have that contest, so,
right? So I
keep your clothes on, Nate. Right.
I can't do anymore. This is it. So I have to then go to the thermostat. Now, if I was sitting here and you sit there in a sweatshirt,
it's too cold.
Well, I can't. Change that you're a walking fireball.
Moving on.
Yeah, anyways.
You brought it up.
I just asked
Moving
a
on.
Question. You had to
you
get
brought
all your,
it up.
Your panties are straight in a wad
the whole
right
show.
Now.
Whole show.
I had a lot of sports to talk about today, Katie. A lot
there
of
goes the prep right
Did
there.
You really just rip yeah, I've, up
I've,
your
I've got like three more.
Okay.
Somebody went 4-0 in the pick four.
Yeah, I think I know who it might be because it wasn't this guy.
Yeah. Wait. I picked the Jets. I did? Wait, hold on. I did?
Dummy.
We might have to run tape on that. I'm not saying Matt George is wrong. I'm sure he's right, but I
think you did, man.
Really?
If I was trying to sabotage you, I would make you 0-4, not 3-1.
No, but that's too, you know, obvious.
You were very much like,
you know what else I'm
4-0
in?
Yeah. Nobody cares. Nobody cares about fantasy football.
Yeah, but you need a quarterback.
Yeah, you do.
I picked one up. Quit trying to make a trade with me.
Eli's on the market.
I already picked one up.
Here's another thing that I don't like about football from the weekend.
Hold on. Look at this. Eli Manning had 925 yards yesterday.
He did?
See?
You know, that's a big game.
No, it's because it's because
probably could have sold it, though.
So are we not going to talk about our Saturday night at all?
No, we got a whole show. You talking about Saturday night?
No, we only have one segment.
That's fine. We can talk about it right now. Katie and I went, was it Saturday night? It was Saturday afternoon. I got my first manicure pedicure.
Oh, yeah. That happened, too.
Nice.
Kind of.
Let's see them.
I mean,
jazz hands.
They're very nice. I didn't get them painted.
No, but I was talking more about the fact that we went to FanFest.
Yes.
StanFest.
And... We walked down K Street after it ended. There's two things that surprised me. Apparently, 10,000 people rode the regional transit, which was amazing. When we walked out of the building, and you look at the regional transit, which is right there on 7th Street between K and L, packed, huge,
Like that. Serious question. Was that 10,000? Is that like a number that was thrown out there? Or you just
regional transit.
They did a big release.
Yeah,
saying, oh my God, it was like 9 billion percent more.
Also, like how amazing it's going to be after games for fans to go there on K Street to all those restaurants and bars, and just it was a cool thing to see that.
Like, we took the tour on Wednesday, and that was neat to see the arena, but to actually see the nightlife around that in action on a Saturday night, where we went to Kenny Thomas's place, El Rey, which is right on K Street, and there's Malt and Mash and all these other places hopping.
Foundation's the business, dude.
Dude, that's what Pat was saying.
It's really good.
So, but all these places, I've never experienced that. And granted, not a downtown guy, but not a downtown guy for a reason, mm-hmm. because it's always been like.
Well, and out at Sleep Train, there's
the
nothing there.
On the street?
Yes.
There's nothing at Sleep Train. You didn't see that.
No.
You know, you had to like get in your car and drive.
Every place was packed. It was like San Diego
on
a Friday.
Cool.
You're talking about C-Web Center Court.
Oh, that was great. Yeah.
You had to drive there. Yeah. You're missing the point here,
that's
buddy.
That's the thing. It was right. You got out of the thing and you walked right over. And there you are. There you are. Guess
it was cool.
What?
It was cool.
It was very, very cool. We experienced the nightlife. What else did we do? Now, we did a bunch of stuff, but it's not important. Morning Brew is next. We have a gigantic show for you, and we have Kings news, real actual breaking. Well, broke yesterday, Kings news,
broken.
And football to get to. Oh, yeah, very broke. It's broke. That's next on The Drive. Sports 1140 Caged Key. Hey, Katie, read that release again real quick that they put out for the Kings broadcasting.
I just closed it.
Oh, dang
but
it.
But basically it says,
fan favorites
Grant Napier and Jerry Reynolds will return to the game broadcast for the Kings alongside sideline reporter Katie Christensen. Oh. I was like, okay.
You're not a fan favorite. You're not a fan favorite. Oh, nobody likes you. That's like unfortunate wording. Like the Paul McCartney signs all say, "Welcome to Sacramento, Paul." And there's no comma between Sacramento and Paul. And so we actually researched this and found out it was McCartney's people. It wasn't the Golden One people that did that. But it just looks like Sacramento Paul. Like,
I love Sacramento Paul. He's one of my favorites.
We all hang out. People with cities for first names.
Right.
There's Carmichael Dave. There's Sacramento Paul. Let's try that again. Here we go. Brew number uno. Here you go. I don't know. We're always,
holy Toledo.
We're going to hammer analysts, of course, in this show as we do every Monday. You can't really blame Tom there. He thought Papa was done.
Yeah.
That's why Grant puts his hand on Jerry Reynolds' forearm when he does calls, and I wish more guys would do that. A, because it looks
He does that?
You didn't know that?
Well, no, I'm not watching
that. Well, no,
them.
I mean, no, I'm just saying he's come on
he's
and talked about it. He puts his hand on Jerry.
I must have missed that.
Yeah, he puts his hand on Jerry's forearm until he's done, like, for big calls.
Yeah.
And then when he lets go, Jerry goes in. That's why Jerry never, ever, ever steps on Grant.
Right.
Here's the point. Nobody wants to hear about that. The Raiders are good. And Michael.
3-0 on the road.
Michael Crabtree should be called Michael Dyson. Because he sucks up everything and catches it.
That's my sucking.
Like Kevin's brother?
Well, there was a Kevin Dyson.
Uh-huh.
I know, Tennessee.
Well, you had me for a second because I forgot his first name was Kevin.
Yeah,
I'm
Kevin.
Why are you calling him that guy? He sucks.
Michael Crabtree has magnets for hands.
That was great that they were able to pull that one out because they had a drive in the fourth quarter where they had the lead, and it was uninspired. They looked like they felt like they had it in the bag, and, yeah, they didn't. But they were able to come back.
Tom Flores on that play.
That's gross.
I love the way that he kind of steps on it because he calls games like with this combination of like amazement and wonder.
Yes.
Yes. Oh my. Holy Toledo.
He's like the Willy Wonka of Raiders. All right.
Beat by Dallas. And you know, they hung with them for a little bit early in the game. I was like, oh, they might surprise some people today. And then that is not at all what happened. And maybe the worst thing coming out of that game, even worse than the loss, is the fact that Navarro Bowman went down and reportedly may have suffered a torn Achilles.
Yeah, it was a non-contact play. It was not good. There's a lot to say on this game, but the bottom line is they really had no chance when he was gone. Nick Ballore is a fringe NFL player, and Navarro Bowman's an all-pro.
Right.
And Ezekiel Elliott just gashed him as soon as he was out.
I want to be very clear. Navarro Bowman is one of my favorite players in the NFL. He's one of my favorite Niners, number one. Number two, you never wish injury on anyone. But from a pure football 49er fan standpoint, you can make an argument that him being gone is actually
–
you know what? Screw it. Tank, suck, lose every game, go 1-15, get the number one pick, and let's go home. At this point,
and not take a quarterback again?
Exactly. Well, no, you fire Baalke, and guess what? New general manager coming in. You get the number one pick in the draft. The wins this year for the 49ers serve no purpose to me as a 49er fan whatsoever. You disagree with me, Nate. Well, we'll get into that later.
If you remember back in May, Darren Collison pled guilty to one count of misdemeanor violation of domestic battery involving an incident with his wife. Just over the weekend, he was announced that he's going to be suspended for the first 8 games of the year. As a result of that, the league said they consulted with a panel of experts and, quote, took into account the conduct and its result, the player's acceptance of responsibility, his cooperation with both law enforcement and the NBA, and his voluntary participation in counseling in addition to the court-mandated program.
Wow, that was a handful.
That's a mouthful.
I
had to list my way through that and stumbled three times.
A panel of experts.
I wasn't going to call him out on it. Oh. Damn it. Look at what she did. How many times do we roll over her crap, right, Nate? And she busts you on panel
How
of experts.
How many times do you not roll over my crap?
Well, that gives you an idea.
Gina?
You traveled to Gina. Shanghai, Gina.
Did you see the SNL skit?
Yes,
I did.
Oh,
my God.
The royal expert.
Yeah. Here's the thing. This is where real life and actual life and sports life intersect, because I saw it come over. Mark Stein reported it first yesterday, and I saw it on Twitter. I was like, oh, 8 games? Yes! Awesome. That's much less than, oh, wait, Dave, don't, hold on. And then I started really thinking, God, is that even enough? That's kind of jacked. Last guy got like 25 games. So on the real life side,
that's what that panel of experts is there for, though, because they compare past history, all kinds of things when they make this decision.
I trust them. Listen, it's the NBA. If there's any league I trust to make proper calls when it comes to anything like domestic violence or social issues, I'm going to trust the NBA over any of the other leagues. 8 games is less than what we thought. So that's basically an 8-game tryout for Ty Lawson and Jordan Farmar.
You also have to keep in mind that we're not trying to downplay the domestic violence aspect of this, because that would be a tragedy. However, I will say that this panel of experts, they have all of the information that we do not have access in order to make their decision.
Yeah, we don't know what happened.
All we can do in the media is speculate exactly what happened. We don't know. The police know. This panel knows. The NBA knows. So there's that.
According to the text line, it said Greg Papa calling football games. It's like nails on a chalkboard.
What?
His touchdown Raiders is like nails on a chalkboard. No complaints regarding his baseball calls. Oh, really? Greg Papa will be joining us later in the week. 3-2-1 until we get tuned out. Greg Papa. Greg Papa, I couldn't get, the Raiders are not my team. I love listening to Greg Papa call games. Give me a break. We'll take a break, speaking of, come back. And let's get into a couple things. We need to talk about the Collison thing. We'll continue that. Fan Fest. The Ryder Cup happened over the weekend, and that was phenomenal. We'll talk about that and more next. Sean Salisbury and Lincoln Kennedy joining us at 7:30 and 8 o'clock as well, so stay tuned. Big show for you. Sports 1140 KHDK.
Oh.
Hey, Katie. I get in trouble. I'm not supposed to talk of the updates, and I've been very good about that, but you didn't see it when Nate went to put on his headphones to do his update. He pulled them apart, and he slipped, and his headphone hit him right in the face.
Right in the face.
Really hard. That's what we were laughing at.
I do that like once a day. Just flicked right in, like in the eye or the nose, whatever.
It's Monday. It's okay.
I know.
Back to you, one eye.
I'm sure that Greg Papa doesn't do that. He was on the call. There's the Raiders get the win. 28-27, your final, a late victory. Michael Crabtree had a huge day, really, in addition to that catch. He had 3 touchdowns, 7 catches, 88 yards as the Raiders improved to 3-1. All 3 of those wins have come on the road. How about it? As for the 49ers, they were not so fortunate. They lost to the Cowboys 24-17. This after taking a 14-0 lead in the first half. The Cowboys stormed back with 14 points in the second quarter to tie it by halftime. Ezekiel Elliott had 138 yards on 23 carries to go with a score. And the big fear there, Navarro Bowman going down in that one with a non-contact injury. Lots to come, but a fear and Achilles problem is never good. Major League Baseball, the playoffs are starting. The playoffs are starting. Tomorrow, Baltimore, Toronto, the AL wild card matchup. That one's coming to you from Toronto. And then it's Wednesday. The Giants are taking on the Mets in New York. Madison Bumgarner, Noah Syndergaard. That's baseball, baby. It's happening. With updates every 30 minutes and breaking news first, I'm Nate Goodger on your home for the best live and local coverage of the National Football League. Sports 1140 KHTK.
Bump, bump. All right, welcome in. 6:35. We got to get to the Ryder Cup here in a second. But first, let's play a game if you'd fade that down of compliment or not.
No.
Compliment or not, real quick, from the text line. Let's see. From the 916, Greg Papa's voice is a mix of Fergie and Jesus. Katie.
Fergie?
Fergie and Jesus. Greg Papa's voice is a mix of Fergie and Jesus.
I don't see how that is not a compliment through and through.
Nate Goodyear.
I'm going compliment.
Compliment on both sides?
Yeah.
Circle gets the square. Yeah. I agree 100%. Okay. That is a compliment and
Fergie
a half.
Fergie and Jesus.
I'm guessing
now
that
I'm thinking like Jesus from the Passion of Christ, right?
I don't know.
I don't know. We don't have audio recordings.
I don't know, and I don't want to get in trouble. Let's just say they're all great.
Yeah.
And Fergie is to most good. I don't know. Some people I thought hate Fergie.
No,
that's
you don't.
Why.
Like it's
Fergie.
Not a comparison saying like, "Hey, you've heard Jesus, right?" That's kind of what Greg Papa sounds
like.
Oh,
it's like saying
it's more
his
of
voice
a,
is like.
If Jesus's voice definitely sounds like Greg Papa.
Right.
It's like saying like the old
oh,
NFL
so they're
films
complimenting,
guy.
They're complimenting Greg Papa here. Like saying
yeah.
like
yeah
you know.
That well, Greg Papa's voice is like a mixture of Fergie and Jesus.
Yeah, it's like the original NFL films guy John Facenda.
Yes,
is the voice of God.
Yeah,
and that's pretty much undisputable. And no one's ever heard God, but they know that he would sound like John Facenda.
I believe God would sound like John Facenda and Morgan Freeman had a baby. That's
kind of a weird. Visual,
that's
who,
you know, or maybe not a baby. Whatever you want to say it, but those are like. Very God
voice. Maybe
voices.
Not a baby, but yeah, whatever.
You know, whatever
say.
You want. Hey, the Ryder Cup happened yesterday, and the day broke yesterday in Minnesota, just outside the Twin Cities, with thousands upon thousands of lubed up Americans singing the national anthem as the sky began to glow. It was a special moment, and then it was the U.S. with the lead throughout. But we've seen the United States collapse before a few times. So I don't think anyone was ever getting really comfortable. And then Patrick Reed, though, Rory McIlroy, match of the day. I would say Mickelson, Sergio Garcia was a great match as well. Here's Patrick Reed on the 18th hole. Huge match. Huge match, a lot of back and forth. A lot of crowd yelling, and Rory was into it. Patrick Reed was into it. I'll take the L for this segment here because everyone's texting now that Fergie and that's a quote from Step Brothers. I should have known that.
Oh.
It's 6
really?
A.m. on a Monday. Get off of us.
Whatever.
Yeah, that's, I think that's when Will Ferrell first sings for John C. Reilly. Mm. So I was like, combination of Fergie and Jesus, something like that. That's probably wrong, too. Phil Mickelson splits with Sergio Garcia on the 18th. Go. We all agree. I think we do.
Yeah.
We need more of this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I watched some of it on Saturday. Which was interesting. But that's the tough thing. There's just so much going on between
the
Ryder
Cup.
Come
on. This is America we're talking about.
It is America.
No, I'm just saying. Like, I didn't get to watch, you know, on Sunday because I was watching football.
You get to cheer for America. I mean, listen, I take a lot of crap for being a, you know, communist, red underpant wearing, anti-American, whatever.
You are.
But there are two things that will turn me into a flag-humping professional American in a heartbeat. That is the 4th of July. And that is sporting events like this. Because I'm watching all these like drunk idiots who under almost any other circumstance I would hate and make fun
right.
of. But they're waving flags.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they're singing the national anthem.
Yes.
And they're chanting USA.
Yes.
And we're taking on all of Europe. We're one country and you need a whole friggin' continent. Suck it, Europe. We're America. Bring it. I love it.
Hashtag Yorktown.
So fired up.
The cup is
the passion. The passion,
right?
Nathan.
We need more of this.
I love it.
You gotta
like,
have more of it.
I feel like we
I
could start
USA,
running down the street
it.
Right
really
now
do.
With the American it's flag to this song.
Sure.
Like, that's how I feel pumped up, Nate. Wow. I'm going to start shedding layers of clothes. Let's go
should.
Straight.
Let's
get wet.
With flags.
Wow.
And USA.
USA. USA.
It's like, yeah, I'll bet you guys have won a bunch of Ryder Cups because you got a bunch of countries. We just got one of us.
One.
And you all are taking on us. We got the bullseye. Mm-hmm.
Ooh,
mm-hmm.
Disco guitar.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
That was fun. We need more of this. And yes, streaking up Madison Avenue with an American flag probably would help the cause. Yeah, do it every year. Have a country versus country thing every month. And you know what? Involve the other countries.
Yeah.
Let's see you, Louis Oosthuizen. Let's see you, Charles Schwartzel, in the South Africa contingent. And what's his name? JD something something I can't pronounce from somewhere in Asia. Bring them in. Jason Day.
Bring
where
them all on. You can have them.
How would you like to see Jason Day in the Ryder freaking Cup, right?
That would be scary.
Best player in the world, arguably. Mm-hmm. That'd be nice. Why is it just the U.S. and Europe?
Yeah, bring what's going on with that?
Yeah. Bring them all in. We'll take a break. Come back. The 49ers suck. We go from America the Beautiful to 49er the Lame. That's coming up next on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.
Come back, though.
Please. It'll be interesting. That's all, folks.
That's all, folks.
It's not that I mind the Niners losing as a Niner fan. I just hate stupid, degenerate, reprobate Cowboy fan being that happy. I do. I hate Cowboy fans. I hate Cowboy. It's like Lakers, Dodgers, Cowboys.
I know.
That's the holy triad of lame.
Team choice, loser.
Right. And there's a lot of people, more than you think.
Unless, of course, you're listening right now, and we appreciate you tuning in.
No, I don't. No, go away. You're too dumb to buy anything from our sponsors anyways. Get out of here.
Stop.
I hate them. I can't.
Behave yourself.
Hate's a strong word. One of my buddies.
Put on your big boy pants.
One of my Kings fan buddies, Ernest Wong, is on Twitter. And, yeah, I shouted him out. And he posts it on Facebook. And he posts these pictures of he and his other two degenerate friends going to Levi's Stadium. And they're all in, like, freshly pressed. And by the way, me saying this, they're probably going to want to fight me later because that's Cowboy fans. So they're all wearing their freshly pressed, like, Dez Bryant, gridiron greats outfits and all that. And he posts a picture. And in the background of them is Levi's Stadium. They're in the parking lot. And between them and Levi's Stadium are fans. You know, men, women, children, people of all walks of life, right?
Okay.
They're all three giving the double bird to Levi. Like, yeah. And the post is like, F the Whiners. How bad that them boys are going to get it. Meh. And I know, and I consider this guy a friend of mine. I promise you. He was you-know-what deep in a 44-ouncer beer by the mid-first quarter. But by the time the third quarter rolls around, he's double-fisting 44-ouncers in his Schmedium Bryant jersey.
There's no such thing as a 44-ouncer.
Well, whatever. And he's
right,
he's
Nate? Am I wrong
probably
here?
Drinking nope. It out. No, I mean, I see him at AMPM all the time. And,
nope.
And he had 44-ouncers, just not a beer.
It's a 40.
Well, whatever. 40 plus
Dave,
4 ounces for fun.
Do you even drink beer?
No.
Oh. And then he's turning around and spilling out, come on, Aikman, woo! Shut up. Shut up. I will give Cowboy fan this, though.
There were more of them there than Niners.
Yes, there were.
Holy cow, it was loud.
Yes, there were.
You were down there for that game.
I was. Yes. Cowboys. I hate opposing teams fans, period. They should be banned from the games I'm attending.
That's so true.
It's not. And it's not like Niners fans are much better. I mean, that's the thing. Like, football fans in general. Here's how sad these two
fans. Fans in general. Well, that's what makes you a fan is that you get behind the team that you're cheering for.
Yeah, but football fans are a different brand.
They really are.
This is how sad these two franchises have become. The rallying cry for the Cowboys fans there yesterday, and I heard more than one group of people talking about it, was, oh, we're 5-2 against you in the playoffs. Which is like, dude, and that's not even that to me is pathetic for both of those teams because, like, they haven't faced in the playoffs in how many years?
A while.
And that's just how sad they've both become. There's like, well, 5-2 in the playoffs against you, and Niners
fans. They've got a Twitter account.
Well, we were good more recently.
Yeah, rings, right?
It's so sad.
For the Cowboys, though, listen, they've got their starting quarterback out. They've got their whole left line out. They had their best wide receiver out. They were playing with half a team. and the rookie comes in and goes for a .119 passer rating, no interceptions, and
he's good. He's impressive.
Yeah, no, he
and
is.
And even in the sense that
everyone's impressive when you run the ball like that, Katie. It's
From what I can see, yeah, Ezekiel Elliott, their run game is great, but you have to give credit to their offensive line and the fact that, you know, the defense for the 49ers sucked. But you can get off that, Nate. But the impressive thing for me with Dak Prescott, it looks like he is very much managing the game well. He's noticing the different, you know, the different defenses. He's making changes. Like before, to me, he looks very, very comfortable there. Are you worried if you're Tony Romo? Because, I mean, he came in a little bit overweight.
No, he's the highest.
Is he going to be 50 plus
coach in the league?
He is, but here's the thing, and I don't want to. I've really avoided this. Like, I don't want to get into the whole. Okay, they're 3-1. Let's get on the Dak Prescott train.
No,
but at some point, if you're I'm kind of with you though. I'm saying I've avoided that, but now at some point, dude, if Dak Prescott leads them, let's say they go 10-6, they make the playoffs. It's almost like
Romo's done.
Yeah, like why would you even bring Romo back? Even if you brought him back and he was better than Prescott next year, he's still older, and you kind of need to
move
on. Good news for the 49ers, though, and for Jed York. If there's one thing that Jed York and Trent Baalke can take at home at night when they put their head on the pillow, it's that they might be sucking with Jim Tomsula and now Chip Kelly and their garbage fire team, but at least Jim Harbaugh's not doing any better.
I know.
I mean, right?
At least they got that jerk out of town.
He's horrible.
Oh,
he was exposed as a terrible coach, obviously. Mm. On the other end of the spectrum, good. We got the Niner crap out of the way. Now let's get to the story of the day. Your Oakland Raiders. Big day for them. Big week for them. We'll talk all Raiders next on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.